Tonight we are starting a new series, which we will be covering for the next 2 months or so. And it's talking about the promises of God. And we are at a time in history where things are uncertain and scary and confusing. But one thing I can tell you is that God is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and his promises never change either. And so, tonight I'm going to be talking about the promise of his presence. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. And so, before I even delve into the Word of God tonight, I do want to pray. So, Father God, we thank you that you are faithful and that you are good and that we can rely and trust in you. I pray that tonight you would speak through me the words that you want us to hear, Lord. I pray that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. Holy Spirit, come and speak to your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I mentioned before, the scripture of Hebrews 13, verse 5 is so interesting. It says, God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm going to go into a bit of a Bible study tonight before we even delve into what that scripture means for us today. And the first question I have for you is God omnipresent? In other words, is God everywhere? All the time. Now, David actually answered that question. He answered it when he wrote Psalm 139. And if you are feeling a little low about yourself and your relationship with God, and you doubt how much God knows you or loves you, I encourage you to read the whole Psalm, because it delves into the detail of how much God knows each person individually. But there is something that David says in Psalm 139, which I found quite interesting. He said, "Where can I go from your presence? Or where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed even in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the very wings of the morning and go to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." So David clearly said that God is everywhere, that you cannot hide from God, you cannot run from God, he is there. And if you want to know or see God, just look at creation. If you look at the magnificence of the universe, or even the small detail of how things were made in human beings, you would see God. And God actually said in James 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father, who does not change." So any goodness you see in this world is God or from God. But then the big question is, well, then how do I tap into this presence? How do I know God? And if you read 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, it says, God is talking when he says this. He says, "I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 17, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." You see, in order to walk in the presence of God, according to the scripture, we need to be his people. And being his people is actually not such a hard task. It simply means accepting Christ as our savior, acknowledging that he died for our sins, and asking him to forgive us for the things that we've done wrong. That is what becoming his people actually means. Now, I'll give you a bit of a comparison. If you've ever watched The Prince of Egypt, you know the story. And it is the story where A nation, the Israelites, are enslaved by the Egyptians and are treated cruelly. And they cry out to God and they say, God, come and save us from these Egyptians. And God sends Moses as a deliverer. And God uses Moses and speaks through Moses. And eventually, Pharaoh lets the people go. And it's the same when you come, it's the same when you become a Christian, that we are trapped in our, or we are enslaved in our worlds of sin. And Jesus, the deliverer, comes, and if we cry out to him and accept him, he sets us free. And we become no longer slaves, but we become children of God. You see, Psalm 29 verse 46 actually says, this is God speaking again. He says, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. You see, God wants to dwell with people. He wants his presence to be with us. Even Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28 verse 20, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But you ask me, if you're a Christian and you've given your life to Jesus, you may say to me, but where is his presence? Where was he when I lost my job? Where was he when I fell sick? Where was he when I feel lonely or abandoned with no hope? Where was he when someone in my family died? Where was his presence then? You know, honestly, when I look at my time of isolation, I can't say that I felt the presence of God much. And I've even spoken to other Christians about this and said, what do I do? I'm not feeling God's presence. And it feels like a lot of people are in the same boat as me, that no matter how much they pray or seek God, they don't feel him. They don't necessarily see him all the time. Is that how you feel today? I'm here to encourage you that God loves you and he wants to dwell with you. He wants to be your God and he wants you to be his child. He also promised that he wouldn't just leave us when we were going through things, that he wouldn't just leave us to sink. And you can read this in Psalm 43 verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And even the famous psalm that everyone knows, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, what I found when I started doing this message, it wasn't about a question of whether or not he was with me. I was fully, completely aware that God is there. And because I am a child of God, he promises that he would not leave me. He would not forsake me. He would walk through these trials and tribulations with me. What I found more than anything by looking at the scriptures for this message was that God actually wanted me to seek him more, to seek his presence more. You see, now is not the time to stop seeking God. Even if you are in the lowest pit of your life right now, he promises that he won't leave us in that pit. You see, I don't know about you, but I actually want to walk with God. I want to hear his voice. I want to know him. I want to know his presence. I want to know when he's there. You see, God seeks habitation with humans, not just visitations. He wants to walk with us and be with us. You see, what's quite interesting is if you study the Israelites and what happened, when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said to Pharaoh, God says, let my people go, that they may go and worship me, not that they may go to the promised land. And when God freed them, he actually led them through the wilderness to a mountain called Mount Sinai, right? Why did God not just take them directly to the promised land? Why take them to Mount Sinai? Because how can you go to a promised land if you do not know the promiser? If God had just led them directly into the promised land, they would not have known God. They would have not known his laws. They would not have known what he wanted from them. And they would have just gone into a life of sin and not knowing God. He purposefully drew them into the wilderness. And it's exactly the same with us in our walk. We are walking through the wilderness looking towards the promise of eternity. His presence is with us while we're in this wilderness. But the big thing is that we also need to draw near to God. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart. Who does the drawing first in the scripture? You or God? It's God. And when I look at the Israelites, it's quite interesting. They seemed quite content to just, you know, wander through the wilderness with God being on the outskirts in a tent or on a mountain. Whereas Moses was a little different. He even said to God at one point, he said, God, if your presence does not go with us, I do not want you to lead us into the promised land. You see, when I've been praying about this, what I felt God say to me was these words, press into my presence. You see, I'm fully convinced that he walks with us wherever we go and through every trial we face, and that he hasn't left. But he wants you to press harder into him, to seek him. And what does it mean to press? Is it a works thing? No. All he wants us to do as people is to constantly read the word, pray, invite him into our days, invite him into our lives, allow him to correct us where we need correction. That is what pursuing the presence of God is. So today, what I want to encourage you about is that he is with you no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what trial you are going to have in the next few weeks. He will be there, that I can promise you. But I'm also going to encourage you to press into that promise, press into his presence, keep on seeking him, because God said, when you search for me, you will find me. When you search with your whole heart. Are we going to be those people that seek him with our whole hearts? I'm going to leave you with one more scripture. It said, this is Paul speaking. He says, yet indeed, this is Philippians 3 verse 8, sorry. It says, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that we would be a people who know our God, who know that you are a God who walks with us and wants to dwell with us. I pray that we would be a people who seek your presence, a people who press into your presence as well. Father, I pray that at this time we would gain perseverance in our hearts, perseverance to know you more, to serve you more. Yeah, Father God, we just trust you today. Help us, Father, to shine your light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.